If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.
Being a parent can be really challenging. It's normal to feel uncertain about whether you're doing the right things to raise healthy and happy children. That's why Child and Family Resource Network focuses on connecting pregnant parents and those with kids under the age of 5 with free support services to help them build confidence in their parenting journey. Everyone deserves to have someone they can turn to for support with parenting. Visit childandfamilyresourcenetwork.org today.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
Hi, I'm Niamh Kavanagh.
And I'm Gerard Farrelly.
And you are listening to Agony Rants.
Ho, ho, ho.
This is our Christmas episode.
Yay!
Yay! And we are very excited. Yeah. Are you excited about Christmas, Niamh?
Yeah, I am actually. I am very much excited. I mean, I'm going to be working quite a bit of it, but yeah. I have a nice little section of time off. And unlike previous years, you know, normally you'd be traumatised having to get the, you know, the Santa presents and all that. Obviously now it's slightly different because obviously we're on Christkindles everywhere and the boys are men now. So what they want is money.
Okay. So you're just essentially writing two checks.
Basically. Yeah. And so it's a lot easier in that sense. So, but I am still cooking dinner for everybody, but I do love that. I do love it.
That's your routine every year, isn't it? You're always like the...
Yeah, I cook.
You cook.
I'm like Steven Seagal. I also cook. No, I cook. I like to cook. That was from Under Siege, by the way. And it's like, I like to cook. So I actually quite like that process. It doesn't stress me. I mean, you know, next week now I'm going to have the gravy made ahead. I'm going to have the pigs and blankets in the freezer. All that goes in the freezer. That comes out the day before. But I just love the smell of the turkey in the house. And I love everybody sitting down. And then we have lots of games. Like my friend Sarah is the laugh. Like she's really competitive. And yeah, I mean, she's really still traumatized by the fact she still hasn't beat me at Yahtzee yet. But you know, the thing is, and I only learned it. Like I'd never played it before. But we are very competitive as a group. It's good crack. And the kids all went to school together. So they all have a bit of a laugh. And you know, so it's nice when you have a big gang.
So it's an idyllic family Christmas.
Yeah,
is what
yeah.
You're having there.
I mean, you know, to be fair, Paul and I will not speak to each other by the end of the day. But,
oh, yeah. So, yeah.
But it'll be good. You know, we'll make up. It'll be fine. He'll be asleep for most of it anyway. So
I know. I'm never sure how I feel about Christmas. Like sometimes I'm really looking forward to it. And then sometimes I'm like, oh, wow, I really feel like I'm looking in the barrel of a gun.
Oh, why? What's going to happen? What happens in your life?
I mean, like, it's really weird. It was only a couple of years ago. I used to always be one of those people where I was like, oh, my God, I love Christmas. I love Christmas. And then it was, I remember I had a moment about, I'd say, 3 years ago when I was on Grafton Street the day before Christmas Eve with loads of stuff. And I realized, oh, my God, I actually hate this. What is it about it I like? I love the build up without the shopping. Like I do like walking, you know, down Grafton Street and just the lights and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's lovely.
I did once go to the turning. Have you ever gone to the turning on of the Grafton Street lights?
No. I'm usually busy in my career.
Wow. It might be Christmas, but Niamh Kavanagh can still land a smack. Well, I went 1 year, right? And I'll tell you what happened.
Oh, yeah.
I was standing up beside the Christmas tree.
Okay, right up against.
Yeah, so at the Christmas tree, and they set up a stage and the Christmas tree lights were on. Okay?
Oh, okay.
And Brian Kennedy got up and sang a song that was a good 20, 25 minutes long.
Okay.
Yeah. But it was very theatrical. He had a cape on. It was very exciting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Then there was a countdown. All of the assembled crowd that were looking at the Christmas tree counted down. And then the lights turned on behind them.
Oh, yes, okay, because it's the whole street. Okay.
So anybody that was there
didn't see the lights.
Missed it. Like, literally everybody missed it. And I remember coming away from that going, I don't know what that was.
there wasn't quite a forethought in that.
I'll never forget as long as I live.
So they were kind of in the vicinity of the lights being turned on.
Yeah, they were in the area when they were turned on, but if you were in any way engaged in what was going on, you 100% missed it. You completely missed what you were there to see.
Well, to be fair, I once did a gig for the hospice and they lit a tree there and that was very emotional. I remember that I was singing You Light Up My Life, you know, surprisingly. But, it was a lovely moment. And I think it actually went beamed live to the Kenny Live show or something. You know, it was one of these really big events and it was really lovely. Other than that, really, I didn't see I used to bring the kids in to see the lights, obviously. You know, you want them to see the displays. I mean, gosh, when I was growing up, you came in to see the window in Switzer's, like, you know, which is Brian Thomas now. But you know what I mean? All those windows were done up fantastic.
I remember we were brought to the moving crib. Do you remember the moving crib?
Oh, the moving crib. Yes. The moving crib. As if you're not freaking out.
It was essentially a crib that was moving. It was like everything was battery operated or something.
Yeah.
But I remember going and the baby Jesus was missing a head. And the donkey kept leaning in to the crib.
He thought he'd eaten his head.
So I was like, has the donkey eaten the baby Jesus?
No.
What?
But did you go before Christmas? Because now the baby Jesus shouldn't have been there before Christmas.
Oh, he was. The baby Jesus was there. Well, I mean, most of them were. Or he had been.
Did you ever go to Midnight Mass?
Oh, God.
Do you remember when Midnight Mass was Midnight Mass, right? You know, it was midnight.
I never went when it was Midnight Mass.
I did, because I'm that old. But you will probably miss that out, because then obviously they didn't want the drunks in there, so they kind of, it gets earlier every year to
because
me.
Because it would have been the same church.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I remember we used to go at... We used to go to Midnight Mass, but it was at 6 o'clock or
no,
or
it wasn't as early as that. It was 8 or 9 o'clock at night, yeah.
It definitely wasn't 9, because I remember we'd be home and all by 9.
Ah, jeez.
But I made my stand. That was my one ceremonial Mass I used to go to, like, you know, the lip service.
Yeah.
And I stopped in 2015 because I got all political. I was like, if you're no in the marriage referendum, I'll never darken the door. So it's like those.
This is not this kind of podcast.
I swear to God, it is.
It is now.
So it's like I'm never gonna do any lip service anymore. Yeah. So I stopped. I used to have this awful thing that would happen during Oh Holy Night. Right.
That's my song at Christmas. I sing that every Christmas Eve.
You can sing. Oh. The poor woman. Like, I mean, I think she used to work up to this all year. Mm. That used to sing this, and she would beat it to death.
Yeah, but like, now the only thing about a whole night, right?
A lot of key changes.
A lot of key. It's big.
And it's big.
And not only that, they never, I don't know if you know this about church songs, they don't put it in a key that suits either men or women.
No, they put it,
I think they're trying to please everybody.
They put it in the key that the organist can play.
Yes.
It's like, it's this, Bernie. Get on board. Yeah,
good
or
luck.
Or you're losing your solo.
Yeah.
So this poor woman would work up to it. But it started very, like, the second last time I went, I got the giggles, the minor giggles, right?
Oh, no.
But the last time I went, right, and my mother did ask me to leave the church. That's how bad it was.
Was it that bad?
Yeah. You see, I was anticipating the giggles.
Okay.
Because I was like, this is where I got the giggles last year. And then they started to, you know, the other way, because everything starts with an arpeggio. And then she's rolling up her sleeves and taking her breath and you're going, oh, Jesus, this is going to be bad. And I could feel the giggles coming and they came. And the problem was that my brother started laughing as well. And he's a louder laugher than me. And my mother was furious at the two of us. She said I was a bad influence. Like, he's 32. He was 32 when this happened.
You are a bad influence. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, but anyway.
I enjoy it. So it's all right. I know. Well, Midnight Mass.
I bet you people say that about me now. Oh, it's Niamh Kavanagh now. She's lowering herself to be with this filthy comedian, destroying her career.
No way. They do not, surely. They say, how lucky for you, Niamh, to be with such a youthful presence. I say that with hesitation, to be fair. Yeah.
I think we might retake that line with a bit more enthusiasm. Yeah.
No, we won't.
So what we did was we did a shout out on social media and we got...
We did. We put a shout out on social media. Now, is this the giggles you were talking about?
Yeah, I'm glad.
Well, shall I sing A Holy Night?
Yeah. That's the way we should end, Niamh. So people can play this on Christmas Eve.
Gosh,
you can do
no.
a holy night.
We can't be doing that.
Lovely.
Where's the arpeggios? You do the arpeggios. Dun, 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 dun. Bernie. Okay, go on.
Yeah, she took her arthritis meds late so she could get through the whole song. We did a shout out on social media to just to find out what your Christmas traditions were. Mm. And there's a lot of them drink related.
Yeah, well.
First one is Alan. He says, every Christmas morning, my mother insists we go to the local graveyard and visit all the dead relatives. Have you ever heard anything more Irish in your life? We always try and get a gin into her early, as it's the only way she'll stay at home.
Well, actually, funny enough, like, A, you're lucky they're only in one graveyard, for a start.
That works out quite handy.
Yeah, that's quite nice, you know, all in one place. I have a kind of a similar story, but not kind of graveyard related. But basically, when we were young, my mother used to bring us up to our her friend, our best friend, Doris. She passed last year, which we're all devastated by. But Doris was the life and the soul. She had 8 children, and then us 3, and then eventually 4 would traipse up there every Christmas morning, and then the 2 of them would start with a wee Volga, like a little Volga before the dinner.
What's a Volga?
Vodka.
Oh,
you'll have a little Volga, Niamh, and then not me, obviously. And so, but every that morning, you would all have to have your song. Now, whether you could sing or not, you had to be a song, right? So everybody sang their song, and if you knew it, you jumped in and whatever. And then obviously over the years, it went on for years and years. Every Christmas morning we went to Doris's and we loved it. We absolutely loved it, right? And we'd go up there and then we'd all try to escape from the singing so we could go and watch Top of the Pops to see who was number one. That's the way it was. That's how we grew up. It was amazing. And then one year, obviously then the boyfriends started arriving and the girlfriends, because obviously there was 8 of them, so you can imagine. We're burst on seams, but even the boyfriends and the girlfriends had to sing. And then the one poor unfortunate boyfriend arrived in one time. And, you know, you used to try and help them out if you knew the song, but he was actually all the way to the chorus before anybody knew what it was. He was actually singing. It was so bad.
Oh, poor man.
Like, so bad. And he was mortified. But what was even worse was the 2 old Harridans in the corner sitting there with 3 vodkas in them, laughing their heads off at him after bullying him into singing. Oh, my God. Best
That is
memory.
My worst nightmare.
No, it was amazing. It was amazing. And actually, we really miss it. And I loved all the gang. And we still talk about it. It was such a fantastic thing. But, you know, my mum used to drag us all places. We used to have Doris's in the morning. We'd go home and have our dinner. And then we'd have to go out that night and perform for whoever else that was. Is it any wonder I am the way I am?
No, it's not.
So be lucky. It's only the graveyard in the morning, Alan. Yeah.
Well, the thing about I don't know why people do this. Like, because those people are dead all year.
Yeah, they are.
Like, they're also dead 2 days before Christmas. Like, you can go in, like...
Grod, you are heartless. What the hell is wrong with you?
Why on Christmas morning, a day that is, like, fraught with emotion as it is, do you kind of go, let's start at the lowest point that we can find?
No.
It's so sad going to graveyards on Christmas Day.
It's not always sad. It's remembering the person.
Says Niamh Cavanagh. Only if... It's not always sad if the person was an absolute prick.
I did not say that. Said that.
People... Sometimes it's good to go and say it. The world is such a better place.
No, I didn't say that. Okay, yep. So Donald's is very quick, right? And it says, used to get drunk a lot, quite a lot, and now it's quiet reflection. Donald, I'm happy for you, you know, because actually it's nice to be quietly reflective.
On Christmas Day, exactly.
On any day. Do you not make fun of Donald? Donald is saying a very real thing here. You don't have to have alcohol to have a lovely day.
You absolutely don't. Unless you're having it with your family. And if you in any way want to get through it with any semblance of sanity.
Grod. I don't believe it.
Well, from a big family, you just need a little, you know.
Yeah, but you know, that's what Top of the Pops used to be for. You used to go into another room to watch it.
Yeah, you have Top of the Pops in your 20s. Yeah. Once you get to 30s, it's Xanax or nothing.
So, Ructions.
Ructions says she drinks as much as possible in the shortest amount of time possible.
I don't think that's exclusive to Christmas for her, I'd say.
No, because I'll be honest with you, when I copied that into this, I had to actually correct. There was a few misspellings. So I think Russians is well on her way for Christmas. She is doing some deep prep there.
Well, thank you for contributing to the show, Russians. I'm pretty sure you're not alone in that sentiment.
And when you listen, I think you might be very, very surprised to hear that you did.
So next one is Mary. In my family, our tradition is usually an argument. Usually we've had it by 4 o'clock and then we have our dinner. If it didn't happen, I'd miss it. Mary, I totally understand that.
Yeah.
I love a good...
It always starts. Everyone's so delighted to see each other.
Ah, they are.
Yeah. And it's an hour tops. Like, it's literally an hour tops. You're like, I wish this fucker would go back home.
Oh, you don't mean that. That's horrible.
That's exactly the way Christmas goes.
I've been here for more than an hour.
But if we get on.
We do.
We do. We get on so well. Like, I come from a house.
It's not just for the cameras.
I come from a house, though, where we were the family that were visited.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And that's hard going because you're at the whim of.
Of when they want to go home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and so, like, sometimes you can just.
No, you just clean up around them.
You're waiting for your dinner. Like, you're just getting ready for the dinner. And then it's like, ding dong. You're like, who?
Oh yeah,
could this possibly be?
and then slowly the turkey's drying out.
Yeah, you're just watching it and you're like, oh, here we go.
And here, I have a question. How long do you cook your turkey?
I'm going to be honest, I've never cooked one. I've never cooked a turkey.
I can't be friends with you.
You know what? I've never cooked a ham either.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I don't like roasting meat. I've only ever roasted a chicken. Oh no, I tell a lie. A couple of years ago, I roasted, I did a roast beef.
Who are you?
I know. And it was because one of my friends was in Dublin doing shows and she came over for dinner and I was like, I'll do a roast. And it was the first time I'd ever cooked roast beef. And I was kind of worried. I was like, God, if she has to cancel a load of shows because I've given her food poison, I could be in trouble here.
I have two words for you. Meat thermometer.
I got one after that.
It's amazing.
I got one after
Takes
that.
Takes all the tragedy out of it.
Oh.
Although there's not as much fun in the Jeopardy, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
No, but I'm telling
when
you.
When 2 hours later and you're slapping them in the hand going, how do you feel?
Yeah, I remember my mother in that practically getting up in the middle of the night to put the turkey on. And it doesn't bear thinking about because I literally to cook my turkey like you do a chicken. You do it on poundage of weight. And the first year I did it, she was so horrified when I told her. I took it out of the oven for an hour or took it out of the fridge for an hour before just to let it come up to room temperature. And I put it in for maybe 2.5-3 hours. And she was completely shocked. She thought we're all going to be dead by the end of the week. And yeah.
Why? What was the weight? Was there an older way to do it?
No, they used to cook them all night. It was just because it was such a big bird. You were just so afraid of getting sick because you could have.
Okay, yeah.
You know, and but actually then they realised it was just a slightly bigger bird. You didn't need to. You didn't need to cook it for like 20.
How does
a
whole generation of people not draw the line between a chicken and a turkey being pretty similar?
I don't know. It doesn't make any sense now, but it that's just the way it was. Get it up to room temperature. Don't be messing about. And let it rest. I let it rest for about 3 hours afterwards.
When it's cooked?
Yeah. I put a big towel over I put a cover with foil and then I put a big towel over it and it keeps it just as hot and it's gorgeous.
That's my dad's favourite thing about Christmas. He does all the meat. Oh. I sometimes think he would have, you know, loved to have been a butcher.
Yeah, maybe so.
Or a serial killer.
I was just going to say, clearly yeah. Not just the cooking, it's obviously the killing.
Yeah, it's like, he also makes his own stuffing, which there's a like
family recipe.
Yeah.
Has he passed it down to you?
Well, I think he's improved it because my granny used to make it. And honestly, I've never tasted anything that tasted more like Paxo. But anyway.
So you want to read out Jonathan's one? Is the next one?
Jonathan, Christmas tradition for your pod. So I have 7 bratty nieces and nephews ranging from 1 to 13 that I have to entertain every Christmas. One particular Christmas Eve, to distract one from having a tantrum, I said, there's no time for crying. You haven't slapped the turkey a major Christmas wish yet.
Jonathan, you are now my new best friend. Go on.
He was so puzzled by this bizarre concept that I had just made up. He immediately stopped crying. I proceeded to take the whole uncooked and I think covered in cling film turkey out of the fridge as four toddlers queued up to slap it and make a wish, and a yearly tradition was born.
I think there's a couple of things that are my favourite thing in that, but one is in brackets, and I think covered in cling film. There's not a mission that feckin' chicken.
No,
was not.
It wasn't covered in cling film.
But you're just covering your faces here now.
He put that in so he's not criticised.
It's okay. All the children had salmonella on their hands that way.
Seven nieces and nephews.
What a clever thing. Jonathan, that is fantastic.
That's a lot.
Bratty nieces.
I saw a tweet during the week and I thought it was really, really brilliant. There should be tax relief on couples individuals that
don't have kids
that have to buy for nieces and nephews. You should get tax relief. I absolutely agree with it.
Lisa, we used to go carol singing, and me and my sisters love a bit of singing. Right. So, but we can't do it anymore, as we knocked on the door when we were a bit worse for wear and started to get into a fight about the harmonies, and the neighbour threatened to call the guards.
What a legend.
Lisa, right up there with Jonathan. Yeah. Right up there.
I know. Do you know what? This idea of coming home from the pub and going, we're going to knock in and go caroling. I like that mentality is absolutely incredible.
Oh, it's like...
It's biblical.
It's a community service.
It's like when Mary Magdalene and... and Mary Christ were coming home and they rolled back the stone. For like, that's the one thing in the Bible that was never explained. What? Why did they roll back the stone?
They rolled back the stone because
they were out and they were like, oh, he's dead. Let's go have another look at him. They rolled back the stone?
Lisa, that's fantastic. It seems a shame that you're not able to do it. Maybe if you have to fight before you leave.
I think Lisa needs to
tell us. It's probably
A
Holy Night.
Of course it was.
No, if you're going caroling, you're definitely, you know, singing Rudolph and everything.
And Ding Dong Merrily on High.
And, you know, well, so I'm dreaming of a white.
Do you remember that used to happen sometimes where you the doorbell would go and you'd open the door and it'd be just one kid in a tracksuit.
Yeah.
Glaring at you. And then he starts to sing, I'm dreaming.
Away in a manger. Go home.
My dad used to say, I'll let the dog out. Like, wow, Christmas spirit.
So
well done.
All right, right there is where I realized where you got it from.
Just didn't lick it off the stones.
Okay. Aisling.
My mom makes the pudding and I still go over to stir it and make a wish and I wouldn't miss it for the world.
Aww,
that
Aisling,
is lovely.
That is really lovely. And actually, you know, I think we all did that when we were young. You know, well, maybe not you, but we did. We did. And actually, we loved it. And there used to be, sometimes you'd put money in it.
Yeah.
What's your problem?
I never understood why people did this. It was a one way, it's
like a choking hazard.
Yeah. It was like, if you want to kill a kid, here's a good way to start.
Well, no offense, but when I was young, not a lot of kids ate pudding.
True. We didn't, I don't think we had pudding when we were a kid. I think my aunt used to make pudding. Because I make it now.
Yeah. You love pudding, do you?
I love pudding.
You're a real pudding boy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you put nuts in or not?
Sometimes. No, I didn't put it in last year. No.
Yeah, my husband's not mad about nuts in the pudding. So it's kind of, it surprised me how much of an opinion he had on it. You know,
say what you really mean.
No, I was surprised, really. Although... Why should I say that considering the opinions I have?
Was that opinion expressed before or after you made a pudding with nuts in it?
Well, to be fair, I've never made pudding. No, I've never made a pudding because it's not. I like pudding, but I'm other people around me like to make it, so I let them.
I love what I used to love was, you know, the rattle of the... pot when you're boiling the pudding, the pot rattles. I always think that was really cute.
You know, if you were boiling a ham, you'd get the same feeling.
I got into trouble then a couple of years ago because I took a video of the pot on the cooker rattling.
Why did you get?
And I posted and said, "Oh, finally found a way to calm the cat down." Oh. People went mad. Because they're messing.
People have opinions about that.
We have a problem.
Oh, we have a problem.
We have a problem.
Okay.
The problem is from James. And this is an interesting one, actually. And I think we might be able to help with this because we're both from, I think, families similar to what James is talking about here. Okay.
Right.
On Christmas Day, we all get together in my family and it's lovely. And there is something that happens that drives me insane. And honestly, I don't feel I'll be able to handle it well this year.
Oh.
I don't know how it starts, but it's like the conversation turns to people taking the piss out of each other and constantly telling embarrassing stories, which is fine.
It's fine when it's not you. I know.
A nerve has been hit on the cabinet side of the table. And telling embarrassing stories, which is fine, but it just goes on and it really grinds me down. I don't even know how to approach it. What do you think? Or have either of you been in that situation before?
I'm never not in that situation. I'm never not in that situation. Honestly, in my house, the dinner table is sacred, right? We go around the dinner table and it is true for it that no partner enters our lives for permanency unless they survive the dinner table.
Good gosh, that is a nightmare.
No, it isn't. It's wonderful. You'd love a grode. The banter is ferocious. Now, you don't have to be brilliant at the banter. And if you, some of them are not as, you know, interactive as others. They just find it funny, and but they don't take it personal. No, that's not true. Everybody takes something personal from at home and then they sit and...
Of course, they sit on
destroyed. It for about a week.
How was your first meal with the Kavanaughs? I'll tell you in a week when I'm recovered.
Now, to be fair, they won't necessarily get the grief on the first day, but you know what it's like. You're a lot of people at the table. If we're all together, you're looking at, well, I'm trying to do it quickly in my head, you're looking at 14, 16 people at a table. Yeah. That's a lot of people with partners. That's not including the kids necessarily. Yeah. But, you know, you're talking about 16 people all having the crack. Absolute nightmare in the sense of we just no safety catches on whatsoever. And my mother is absolutely fantastic. She tells the best stories. And sometimes you're sitting there going, oh, I know where this is going. Please don't go there. Please, please. And when she brings the ex-boyfriends in, it's like, really? Really? Luckily, my husband is equally involved in the banter, and in the reason she went through the whole family telling them what she thought of us all, because she was so pleased to see us all. She lost the run of herself and told my husband that he was the favourite, and then she told me that I was lucky to be married to the favourite. So we just leave that there. but it was really fun.
I feel like I should be friends with your mom.
You'd love her. You'd love her. My mom is amazing. But actually, you know, there's a whole gang of us, right? A whole gang of us. And if you don't survive that, then you don't know who we are as people. It's so intrinsic of who we are that, you know, essentially you can't really be part of the family unless you survive it.
Well, I think I would be more in James's camp. In the sense that I come from a family that's like that, but it's the girls that are like that. So it's the...
Oh, it's a boy-girl thing.
Yeah, it is a boy-girl thing, I think.
And I was reared in a house of girls.
House of girls, yeah. And it's me, there's me and my brother who are like the quiet ones. We barely know each other because the girls have never stopped talking.
Now, I don't believe that for 1 minute.
I swear to God, we are the real quiet ones in the family.
Wow.
It's bizarre. But, and I do find that, I think that one of the reasons it goes like that, that everybody like just goes in bananas, and this is from somebody on the sideline.
Mm.
I think the reason it goes like that is there's a whole load of people that are all in the one conversation. So it's loud.
Yes.
And you can't really have a conversation because everyone's almost like performing because you're like being loud to be heard.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's where it leads to like people taking the piss out of each other.
Mm.
I think that's why that happens.
Yeah.
So I think that's my insight, James.
Yeah, no, I get that.
I don't know how to make it stop though.
No, well, actually, I have a tip.
Okay.
I have a top tip, James. You see, the thing about it is it's all about distraction. So, ha 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 ha, what about the time you...
Oh. That's not what I thought you were going to say. I thought you were going to say push over a high chair or something. No.
You know, get the Yule log out. Holy night.
Well, I was thinking...
Divert the conversation elsewhere.
Away from you. Okay, yeah.
That's the only thing that will work in that situation. And if you can kind of set the zeitgeist elsewhere, sometimes it's like a juggernaut. You just have to take it. You know, I know that, and it comes in themes. We know it. You know, the thing that I always used to love about our dinner table is every week my mother would cook the most amazing food, and we would cook it together quite often, 3-course meals. And all the way through it, we would discuss the diet we were starting the next day. You know, it's like, it's just themes of things, you know, and it just is the way it is. Big families are just like that. And if your energy is to banter, then the only defense is to distract, deflect by going, ah, that's gas, move that on. It's very hard when you're not feeling 100%. Obviously, James, you're a little bit struggling. But, you know, it's like, you know, if it's really annoying you, the chances are it's something that maybe you feel a bit sensitive about. So
I would say, I'd say there's 2 things that he could try, right?
Okay, go on.
One of them is, I think, if you load up your arsenal with things that you can say to distract. Like, did you see the story about the blah?
Yeah.
You know, so it's like conversation about the, you know, about the news or things that are going on, right?
Yeah, distracted.
Yes, yeah, because it pulls it out of what's going on around the room. But the other thing is, if you can try and start a conversation with one person, I think if you do that at the table,
it dispels it.
It kind of dilutes it a little bit, because what happens is then it takes the whole volume of the thing down. Uh-huh. So then everyone gets into little groups. So I think that's always worth trying. I've done that a couple of times.
Okay, so, but I will say this, James, right? The thing is, generally, when people are telling stories like that, they're just deflecting from themselves. It's more about how they feel rather than about what they think of you.
Exactly. And James, you seem like an absolutely lovely person. Yeah. I think you've got your head screwed on. Mm. Like, when you needed help, you contacted us. And that's
maybe
that's exactly what you should be doing.
Yeah, very sensible. We're stopping for a moment to remind you that we are part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network. You see, I've been practicing that. If you would like to support the show, you can pledge as little as €5 a month, and in return, you will get bonus content and private messages if you send extra money from us and from all the other shows on the Head Stuff Podcast Network. And we want to tell you about one of them, the Bootsy Boys Blackbird. It's a new show, and actually, it is hilarious. It's kind of, you know, Bootsy Boys, they've tapped into the vibe of Micah Flatley's thriller, Blackbird. Do you see what I did there?
Yeah.
Do you see
really
it?
Well done, Niamh. That was pretty spectacular.
Do you
that
like
was pretty
that?
Spectacular.
Do you see what I did? I could have been in that.
Micah Flatley will probably be delighted with your endorsement of this, because he has probably spent his whole life trying to just live up, because you created him.
I did.
You're the reason for Micah Flatley.
I did, to be fair, roots and all. I did. I did. I gave him life. Well, I gave him an opportunity for
life. You gave him a spot. You gave him a spot, and then you just stood there glaring at him. Side stage. Waiting to go on to present. Who won that year?
Paul and Charlie.
Rock and Roll Kids.
Rock
waiting
roll
to
kids.
Present the Rock and Roll Kids with their trophy.
That's right.
While Michael was on the satin. Hammering away.
Lashing across the stage. Now, to be fair, he wasn't on his own in that.
He wasn't on his
Gene
own.
Butler.
Gene Butler. Yeah. Everything he did, she did backwards and in heels.
Yes. Who's the better there? Okay. So anyway, they have done this wonderful show, and you really should have a listen.
At the dawn of the 21st century, the Michael Flatley wrote, produced, starred in, and shot, but refuses to release his film, Blackbird, an action-packed remake of Casablanca for the modern age. Well, we got tired of waiting.
Look out, Blackbird! It's the Nazis!
Start by shooting the orphans!
So much death. Need to help, though. But I can't go back. I have a long night ahead of me.
Looking for something worth dying for?
Blackbird!
Dancing hot sex man adventure romance. He will kick several Nazis and get in your pants.
Chin kicks, you Nazi fucks!
He's got 2 guns. Looks young for his age. He's the fucking Blackbird!
Listen to the Bootsy Boys, Michael Flatley's Blackbird. Coming soon to the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
I mean, I think we've helped, Niamh.
We have. I think we definitely have covered that talk really well. It feels a little bit like we've definitely learned a little bit more about ourselves in that.
A lot more than was intended.
Yes, I know. I never knew about the Yule log situation and Oh Holy Night. So that's a whole moment.
Yeah, I'll never live that down.
No.
And listen, you're a bad influence on your brother.
Do we not live for that?
Exactly. It's like, will it last? Our relationship is finally where it should be. Have a happy Christmas.
Oh, and a wonderful Christmas to you.
And I hope Santa comes.
Oh, well.
And listeners, we'll be back. We won't abandon you.
No, come on.
The Monday after Christmas, we will also have a new episode, because we know you'll be ripping your hair out. If these letters are anything to go by, there's a lot of darkness going on in our listeners. And we need to be the light, Niamh.
We do. We need to lead them into the light.
We will.
Well, listen, have a wonderful Christmas. We're going to go out with Grode singing O Holy Night.
Night.
Divine.
But it was, do you know what it was? It just kept going up and up. I'm like, Jesus, would you not fuck? Just leave it wherever it is.
You can't.
Up and up.
Listen, you need to go home and lie down.
And the hiss of an inhaler at the end of it. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Head Stuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.
Being a parent can be really challenging.
Child and Family Resource Network focuses on connecting pregnant parents and those with kids under the age of 5 with free support services to help them on their parenting journey. Everyone deserves someone they can turn to for help with parenting. Visit childandfamilyresourcenetwork.org today.
Being a parent can be really challenging. It's normal to feel uncertain about whether you're doing the right things to raise healthy and happy children. That's why Child and Family Resource Network focuses on connecting pregnant parents and those with kids under the age of 5 with free support services to help them build confidence in their parenting journey. Everyone deserves to have someone they can turn to for support with parenting. Visit childandfamilyresourcenetwork.org today.
If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Head Stuff Plus.